Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie and find out more.
The Con Court, as you've been hearing, Sean O'Farrell, he said a review of security at Leinster House is to take place following the protests there yesterday. A senior Garda officer has also been appointed to lead an investigation into the protests, which led to 13 arrests. Around 200 people attended the protest, bearing signs and banners featuring anti-immigration slogans, as well as an imitation gallows with photos of politicians. Later, TDs leaving the Oireachtas had to be escorted out in their cars by Gardaí after being told to remain in the complex for safety reasons. For more on this, I'm joined by Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, and Pat Leahy, who's former Assistant Garda Commissioner. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might start with you, Breed Smith, because you were one of the politicians that had their picture on the gallows yesterday. When you were made aware of that, were you surprised or shocked? What was your reaction?
Well, I think there were two pictures of me on the gallows, so they wanted to hang me twice. We were with a motley crew between Leo Varadkar, Mary Lou MacDonald, myself, Paul Morphy, Eoin O'Brien. There was quite a spectrum of political opinion on those gallows yesterday. Look, was I shocked or surprised? I am... getting fed up with the motivation of the far right in this country. And I think we need to call it out for what it was. This wasn't just any normal back to Dáil protest. This was a protest organised by fascist sympathisers, by racists who have been going around the country, attacking libraries, attacking hospital workers, protesting outside Talla Hospital, protesting at every refugee centre that has attempted to be opened. They organised East Wall, they organised Sandwich Street. They're all over the question of refugees and hating them and trying to build up hatred and bile towards them. And that's what yesterday was about. It was a culmination of that, plus all the conspiracy theories about
but was there,
the Irish
yeah, I understand
being pushed
that.
To one side.
And that was the context, and you want to call it out, as you say. But when politicians inside Leinster House saw images being circulated on social media, I'm sure there were chats inside about, look at this. I mean, were TDs talking about this on the inside?
Well, on the inside, insofar as I was with other TDs during the day, it was like, don't go out there, and the ushers are going to email us and tell us when it's safe to go out, and just being careful about it. This time last year, myself and Paul Morphy...
This is a cross party, is it, Breed? Colleagues across the... Yeah.
Across the divides and across the parties. And this time last year, when the Dáil reopened, myself and Paul Morphy had to run a gauntlet of far-right activists pestering us and pushing us and shoving us and filming us and trying to draw us out. And it wasn't quite violent, but it was very intimidatory. And so I wasn't surprised. What surprised me was how long they stayed there, how long they were allowed to stay there and disrupt the whole of the Kildare Street area. The National Library and the National Museum had to close. The local cafe had to close. Mm-hmm. I was talking to the ushers in Buswell's Hotel today and they had a terrible time. So everybody
are
in the
you
vicinity criti-
are
was
Are you critical
intimidated.
There? When you say how long they were allowed to stay there, are you being critical of an Garda Síochána in how they dealt with it?
Well, I'll tell you, Cormac, what jumped out at me, and I still think about it, is how this contrasts with the treatment, for example, of the Debenhams workers, when every public order unit in the country pulled up late at night to break down gates in the occupation of Debenhams and to pull women out, literally pull women out, women workers who'd occupied to get their proper redundancy.
Okay. Okay.
I contrast with how the Shelter Sea people
So you say there's a difference in how it's police. Let me bring in former Assistant Garda Commissioner Pat Leahy. How do we police these things in the future, Pat? Before we address Breed's question there, that there's a difference in how various protests are policed, how do we move on and police these things in future? Are there any lessons from this?
Well, look, policing protests is not straightforward, Cormac, and before you ever get into a discussion about the policing element to it, you have to look at the actual context and the legislation that supports the right to peaceful protest. So you have to start with the constitutional right here in Ireland, Article 46.12, and that gives a fundamental right to peaceful protest. Now, it's a fundamental right, but it's not an absolute right either. So you can limit it through legislation. And in actual fact, it says in the Constitution itself that you can control or you can prevent these assemblies taking place if you can determine lawfully that it's calculated to cause a breach of the peace. Mm-hmm. So something can be done from a legislative perspective, and that's our, if there's a danger or a nuisance to the general public, if you can determine legally that that is the case, then you can legislate for it. Now, that hasn't taken place so far, so the guards are relying really on the Criminal Justice Public Order.
Should there be more legislation, more power for the Gardaí, then, Pat?
Well, look, the thing about it is I can fully understand why people would be slow to go there, because heretofore we've been existing in a democratic society, a very strong democratic society, where protests were based on legitimate positions or arguments or obligations that people had. But they, generally speaking, they engaged with the police in terms of facilitating it, giving them advice on the best routes to take. And they, generally speaking, behaved themselves to a certain level. They didn't break the law when they were engaging in the process. Some huge protests have taken place over the last number of years. But the Constitution isn't the only constraint that exists in terms of policing public order or policing protests. You have to look beyond that then to the European Court of Human Rights. Because they are the ones that will determine at the end of the day whether or not the planning was appropriate, whether the execution was appropriate, whether the strategy was appropriate, and even whether the legislation, if it was enacted, is appropriate in the context. So the police have to look way beyond the Constitution to determine,
So that's how difficult it is for the police to, for the Garda Síochána, let's say, to police this type of a protest. Could preparation for these types of protests be improved by an Garda Síochána, Pat, I wonder? Is there anything that could be done in terms of intelligence or preparedness on the day?
Well, look, in some cases, Cormac, unfortunately, people are trying to avoid putting any intelligence out there. And the world has changed for all of us with the introduction of social media, the internet, so they can actually communicate so efficiently now that it's very, very difficult to keep pace with it. And the guards, again, they have to operate within the law in terms of intelligence gathering. So in a lot of circumstances, they know protest is about to take place. They know who's involved. They can't preempt it, or they may not have enough evidence to suggest or to indicate that there's definitely going to be public disorder here. So what they operate is they operate a graduated response to protest, and
Can I jump ahead there and ask you something? And it strikes me, and it struck everybody in the world, I think, watching the January 6th protests in the US, when the police there, with all of their resources, were taken aback. And if they were taken aback, you could, I would say, make an argument that the Garda Síochána here might be operating in the shade or in the dark a little bit about some of these protests and how planned they are. I mean, would that be fair?
No, I would disagree completely, Cormac. In fairness to the guards, yes, you have to look at, they arrested 13 people. Okay, so nobody was actually badly injured. Yes, it was frightening, it was unsavoury, it didn't look well, but the guards have to consider, both collectively and individually, how they can perform in the context. So you may have a right to arrest somebody, but it may not be the right thing to do in the context within your operate, because you could end up making the situation worse. So people think it's very simple for the guards to operate, but actually it's very difficult in a protest situation, because the courts will really vehemently protect the right to peaceful assembly. And we know that from history shows us that. Equally in Europe, they'll do exactly the same thing. So the police are walking a tightrope, and that's why you have this graduated response where they won't put out the public order unit first. They'll always put out the guards in their normal uniforms to engage with the protesters, talk to them, try and understand what they're, and try and make them understand why they can't go above beyond certain behaviour.
Can I bring in Bree Smith one more time before we finish? And I have another question for you on another matter. Pat, but Bree Smith, on that, and I don't want to mention that the protests yesterday because there are arrests, for example, but do you think, or would you be happy as a legislator, consider new powers for an Garda Síochána to try and deal with all of this into the future?
No, I wouldn't, Conor, and I just want to repeat, there's stark contrast between the treatment of what weren't peaceful protesters yesterday and the treatment of, and I gave the example of the Debenhams workers, Shell to Sea, and housing protesters and students have a stark contrast in the way they've been handled. But look, I think the answer to what's going on in this country is to call it out for what
yeah,
it
okay.
is.
Yeah, okay. But if I may, I don't want to say another word about yesterday because of what could happen in the future.
I'm talking in general. In general, because protests of this nature are not unusual. We've had them week after week at libraries. We had them at Talla Hospital. We've had them outside refugee centres.
Okay.
There is a small cohort, a handful of organised fascists who, by the way, will run in the local and European elections next year. And we will call them out when they try to dress
and
up
you say you're speaking generally there and not drawing any line to yesterday.
No.
Can I ask finally, Pat, with your... experience as a former assistant Gore the Commissioner. Can I ask you about news that's just breaking here? The Gore the Commissioner has offered to enter negotiations with Gore the associations on the disputed issue of rosters. Now, we know this has caused an awful lot of angst, hasn't it? Drew Harris met the four associations, we're told, representing all the Gore the ranks from chief superintendents to file Gore the at Gore the HQ just this afternoon. And he presented the associations with two options: talks under the auspices of the Workplace Relations Commission or talks under the Gorda's internal resolutions process, and the GRA and the AGSI have already declined to enter talks under the WRC. I just wonder what should happen in your opinion from here?
Well, look, I think the Commission has been very fair. They are the two options. And I think, no, I'm not privy to it. This is the first I've heard of the outcome of that meeting. Mm-hmm. But look, I would expect that they will engage with the internal processes until they're exhausted. And if my recollection serves me right, that's what was proposed by the AGSI throughout this whole engagement. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to exhaust the internal processes before going to the WRC. So look, I think it's a good move by the Commissioner. I think the Minister has flagged on a number of occasions the only way this is going to be resolved is through dialogue and engagement. And I think these are probably the first green shoots now in a while that we're seeing. And hopefully they'll result in some positive outcome for everybody.
Well, the GRA has been on record and saying that he's kind of lost the room, the Gore the Commissioner. Does that kind of angst or disharmony have any impact on ongoing routine policing, I wonder?
Well, look, it's I really couldn't answer you in relation to that one. I don't know whether it's having an effect on it. But what I can say about what you're just informing me of now is that this is a really, really positive outcome from today's meeting, that they're going back into dialogue. And as we all know, it's the only way that disputes are ever resolved. So, look, it's a good move. It's a good outcome for today. Let's see where it takes us.
Okay, well, that's the offer anyway. Pat Leahy, former Assistant Gore the Commissioner, thank you very much indeed. And Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD, thank you as well.